Caring for kittens is no easy feat. That's why we've partnered with the National Kitten Coalition to host the Online Kitten Conference, a whole weekend of learning how to care and support the smallest and most vulnerable felines. Join us the weekend of June 10th through 12th. Details and registration are available now at the communitycatspodcast.com.
You've tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Marta Negro. Marta is a traveler who decided to adopt a dog while traveling around Thailand, and because of COVID, had to go back without her. After all of the stressful process to find a flight volunteer to bring the dog back to Europe, she came up with the idea of a platform which allows travelers to offer themselves as transport volunteers and use the searcher to find cats and dogs in need of a ride. And the organization that Marta started is called Help the Dog Fly. Welcome to the show, Marta.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So before we dive into all the details about your organization that you started during COVID, tell us first, like, why are you passionate about cats?
I'm passionate about cats and about every animal in the world, to be honest. But it's true that I grew up with cats. I'm from Madrid, but I wasn't living in the capital, so it was a bit outside. So they always had like direct access to the street. So they were more like kind of street cats, and they were coming with me to the school. When I was coming back, they were still there in the same point where I left them. So they were kind of dogs. So I grew up with cats, but half dogs. But then with the pass of the time, then now I'm more surrounded by dogs rather than of cats, but I love them anyway.
But it sounds like the first cats you were introduced to were community cats, really. The cats that were with you at school. And one of the cats that I adopted, my first cat that I adopted for myself, not for the family, you know, he was a great cat because I was in college at the time, and I'd walk to the laundromat and he would just follow along with me and come with me to the laundromat and wait for me out with me outside while he's waiting for everything to get done. And then we'd walk back home and it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, so it's really nice when there are cats out there. There is a romantic positive to having outdoor community cats, as well as there are some hardships too.
Yeah, exactly. So they were exactly the same. Then they were entering at home just to sleep, but they were having really a free life.
Yeah, excellent. So, you know, it seems like you've gotten into this helping animal space within the period of COVID. So how was your relationship with animals and helping animals before COVID? And then sort of tell us a little bit about your experiences traveling, this new COVID world that we're in, and how you decided to try and help animals that way.
So basically, well, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a vet because I love animals. But then the studies, they went in another direction. But then I knew that I wanted to have animals in my life somehow. So I've been always doing certain volunteering. I did some volunteering in Cabo Verde with turtles and different ways. But then in 2019, I decided to do a big trip alone. And along the way, I was stopping in different places to do volunteering. And when I arrived to Thailand, I decided to volunteer in a shelter with more than 500 dogs and like 50 cats. So I was there. I've been like it was like around 10 days. So I was surrounded there, helping in the clinic. Like it was an amazing experience, also really hard because they were really short of resources, but it was amazing. And then I went traveling, and while the paperwork of the dog that I decided to adopt was getting ready, and then was March 2020. So all COVID happened. I was in Myanmar by that time, and I had to run, trying to go back to Thailand. And then I decided that I had to go back home because everyone was saying, look, Marta, this situation is becoming really bad, so why you don't come back home and leave your dog there, and then you manage to bring it back. So I did that, and during the process to find the ways to bring her, I discovered all this world of transport volunteers that, being a traveler, I never heard about it, to be honest. So it was really hard to find them because they're just, by that time, exist Facebook groups where people like look for them and they say, look, I have this dog that needs to travel. But as many travelers, they don't know about it. It's really difficult to find them too. So, well, I managed to bring my dog, but then I thought probably many people struggle to find people to help them moving their animals. So why no one created a platform where you can like do a searcher kind of, I don't know, like Skyscanner, where you write the destination, the from to the date, and that's it. So I did my research, no one done it before. And as I'm studying web design and development, I decided to develop it myself. So with the help of another co-founder, we've been working for up to a year or even more. And we launched the first version last year in August 2021. So we tested with people, we fixed the problems, and now it's running. So now we are just waiting with open arms to people to sign up and help cats and dogs to arrive home.
And this is focused solely on folks that need to fly an animal from A to B. And how do you deal with the paperwork at each like location and the traveling between countries?
Well, we are open to every kind of transport. You have the option to sign up and ride your I don't know, your car transport between within cities. So it's like can be boat, trips, trains, every kind of transport. But it's true that there are more need of long trips. So basically, usually all the animals, they are related to shelters or organizations that are behind them. So everyone prepare the paperwork, all the organization prepare the paperwork, and the traveler just has to show up the day of the trip. And all the paperwork is going to be handed to them, and they are going to fly with the animal. So it's pretty straightforward.
Most of our listeners are cat folks here, for sure. But I just have to say, you know, when traveling with seeing animals, especially large dogs, and traveling in the planes, and the worries about, you know, how are they kept in the cargo hold and that kind of stuff. What have you learned any information in this whole process, learning things about different airlines, how they handle animals? Like, is there a ranking system of what airlines, you know, do a better job in handling animals? I do worry when I see those dogs in the big crates sort of sitting there coming off with people's skis. It's a little bit funny.
Yeah. Well, I thought that they were in the same compartment like the luggage. I thought that they were like side to side, but apparently not. They have a special place for them that has the same temperature and the same pressure at the cabin where the passengers goes. So it should be safe. And actually with the amount of animals that they fly and they move along a year, there are just no many, like just a tiny percent that suffer any accident. So it's not a big deal. And the good thing about cats is that they go in the cabin with you. So that is good. It's easier maybe for the cat if it's a really long trip, it's going to struggle a bit. So I will always recommend to do kind of a crate training before to go to the plane. So a few weeks before to try to train the cat to be comfortable in the crate where he's going to spend the trip, basically. But I didn't listen many, to be honest, many problems along the travelers or along the transports.
The actual crates that you have to use for cats, can they be the soft crates or do they have to be hard crates, or is there a preference, one or the other?
I think can be both. I will use more the hard ones because they have more room to turn around and to be more comfortable. But it's true that it's a bit more uncomfortable for the passenger because they are a bit bigger. But I think can be both in every airline. I think every airline has different rules, to be honest. So when you do this kind of trip, you always have to go to the airline that you chose to try to set to see all the specifications.
I know when you first started out doing this, this was all focused around, you know, the dog that you adopted, and you've moved several dogs around, but you've also done cats too. And your program is welcome to having cats transported around. And we actually, several months ago during the online cat conference, we had a virtual tour of a cat shelter, cat organization, Let's Be Smart, out of Greece. And many of the cats that they have in their program are adopted out in the UK. And they're flying pretty regularly, you know, cats up to the UK for adoption. So here in the United States, we probably think, oh my gosh, that's pretty incredible, taking all that resources and flying the cats up to the UK. You know, are there a lot of cats being flown around? Is it your sense that there's a lot of movement for cats?
Well, I think that it is. And actually, I'm based now in Edinburgh, and I can see that here, you don't see stray dogs or stray cats. Like actually people, they adopt like overseas or in other countries because it's really difficult to find and to adopt here an animal, which is great. You know, it's like all the animals here, they have a house. So I think that is what happened. Like many people from UK, they choose to adopt abroad, like in Spain, where we have a lot of stray animals, or Greece, or Romania. There are many Romanian dogs around here. So it's pretty common to fly dogs and cats. And actually we have few in the website where they travel usually from Madrid to Berlin, because also in Germany they adopt from Madrid many cats. So there are many like shelters or organizations that create partnership with people and with other organizations in different countries, and they move animals really, really often.
How does an organization or an individual like get onto the, I mean, do they just send an email and just say, hey, I'd like to join up, or is there training, or, you know, do you do anything specific to onboard individuals who are interested in doing this?
So we have two options to join. Like we have, if you are needing help from a volunteer, you have to register as a pet parent in our website. And then you have to create a profile for your animal to give us all the information about where need to fly, which dates. Give us a little bit of story, because we know that people is driven by stories. So we always say, tell us as much as you can, and we can try to, I don't know, to share it in social media and to try to reach more travelers, right? And to arrive to their hearts to to try to catch them. And then the other side, they are travelers. So they just can register and they can write their future trip that they are going to do. So basically they are different searchers. So they can find themselves inside of the platform, and they can arrange all the details inside. And yeah, well, we always are here to answer any question or any problem. But so far, so good. Everyone, mostly all the pet parents, they know everything, because they are really, really well informed to the way that they need to do the things. So usually they guide the helper or the traveler along all the way.
I would assume most of these plans to move animals from A to B, it's not urgent, I would say, you know, not for like a disaster response or anything like that. I know sometimes when like a hurricane hits the south in the United States, they'll move all the animals that are in the shelters out, because then they feel like after the hurricane hits, they'll use that as an emergency shelter. This program is not set for that kind of reaction.
No. Then, to be honest, we didn't encounter that situation. Good for it. So basically there are people there that they are being waiting for months or even years to move their pets. So they are all the time they're waiting for a traveler to jump and help them. So that's why one of the innovation of our platform is that we are focused on getting travelers and educate them, because 80% of the travelers, they don't know about it. And they don't know that they can give an extra purpose to their trips when they go on holidays, you know, and then you go back and help an animal. So we are trying to educate all the traveler community so that there's another option of volunteering while you are traveling.
Excellent. Ever wanted to quickly connect, collaborate, or problem solve with others in the animal welfare field who are, you know, real people? Look no further than Maddie's Pet Forum. Maddie's Pet Forum brings people of animal welfare together with the common goal to keep more people and pets together. We share ideas, expertise, offer each other support, resources, and more. Visit forum.maddiespetforum.org/cats. Maddie's Pet Forum. Come for an answer. Stay for the community.
Could your animal welfare organization use a tune-up? Humane Network can help. You can get a free 30-minute consultation to talk through your challenges and get ideas on how your organization can be more successful with less stress. From board development and fundraising to strategic planning and operations, Humane Network has got you covered. Whether you are a large or small, nonprofit or government, it's a live and thriving program led by a certified animal behavior consultant, features specially designed training for shelter and clinic staff on enrichment, stress reduction, safe animal handling, and behavior modification. With Humane Network, you receive individualized advice and support customized to meet your organization's unique needs. And Humane Network can lighten your load by taking on fundraising, communications, and other tasks you struggle with. Contact Humane Network today for a free 30-minute consultation. Visit humanenetwork.org. That's humanenetwork.org.
Team Dubert is at it again, and now they have an amazing companion case management module that once again revolutionizes how you rescue animals. Dubert partnered with Dallas Pets Alive and the Spay Neuter Network to build a powerful solution that allows you to manage cases of any kind. Whether owner surrender calls or emails, community cat tracking and reporting, Dubert is the only system that integrates two-way text messaging, automatic follow-ups, and even a rehoming solution that every organization can use. No more trying to manage 10 different technologies when everything is all in one place and tightly integrated. From fostering to transport, fundraising to e-commerce, supply and demand to case management, Dubert has everything you need to streamline your operations so you can focus on saving more animals. Check out the new companion case management module at www.dubert.com/CCM and get signed up today. A little bit about your organization. Is it a nonprofit organization?
Well, it's a social enterprise. All the profits, they are going to be always reinvested in the platform. All the profits, they are going to be always sent to work with animals, like pro bono cases where they are going to be waiting. I know if there's an animal that's been waiting for months or for years because they don't find the perfect match, we are going to use that profit to help them. So that is the plan. We still don't have much profit, to be honest, but hopefully this is going to take off and it's going to get known worldwide and we can help as many animals as possible.
Sounds great. That sounds excellent. We do here in the United States, we have an organization called Dubert.com and they move animals around within the United States, and they're a great supporter also of the Community Cats podcast. So just wanted to mention that. And you had talked a little bit about as an organization. So you said you're a socially conscious organization and transparency. You talked about guiding principles. Would you like to share those with us?
Yeah, basically, as you mentioned, our first value is transparency. We want to be really transparent with the numbers, with the income that we receive, with the hours that we are investing ourselves, because for now we are not getting paid absolutely anything. We are investing our time and our money to make this grow. So we want to be transparent as well from the beginning till the end. So in the moment that this is going to grow and we are going to receive money, we are going to be transparent about it. People is going to be able to know for what we use it, how we use it, and to know everything, because I believe in transparency and I would like to see that in another company. And basically, also, we want to be sustainable. So for every successful trip, we're going to start planting trees here in Scotland. So that is another thing that we want to implement. And basically, we are trying to make things easier. All the small print, we want to make it bigger. So when you sign in the platform, you need to know that also travelers, you need to be responsible. So you are not taking just a luggage. So you are taking an animal, and we make you read like all the responsibilities that you have to have when you decide to become a transport volunteer, right? Because animals are important. They have feelings. So you have to like animals. And also one thing inside the platform, usually pet parents, they offer monetary rewards to travelers, sometimes pocket money to help to reward that help. But we don't believe just in money. So we open for the pet parents to also offer accommodation or give a gift or nothing, or just like the thank you, right? Because it's a volunteering thing. So we know that there are many people giving money, like trying to encourage travelers to do it. But one of the rules that we set in the platform is that, or we recommend to the pet parents, never give more money than the ticket of the transport cost, because we don't want this to become a business for the travelers. It's important that you are doing it because you really love animals, not because you are earning profit of it and become like a job, right? So there are certain things that we have really clear about it, and that is not going to change along the way. And we are really open about it. So everyone can read it in the website and can go to our values. And we are really open as well, always to receive feedback, because we know that probably we are going to do mistakes along the way. So we are open to hear everything. If someone has an idea, if someone wants to help, we are open about everything, to be honest.
And there are individuals out there who do this for extra money. You know, the traveling around. So there are people out there that are interested in doing it either as like independent contractors or, you know, maybe for an organization, I don't know, but I've definitely read stories about individuals who do the flying around with t- to move animals around the country for
Like flying nannies, they call themselves.
You know, as an entrepreneur and somebody who's just started a new business, and a lot of folks are interested in starting new nonprofit organizations for trap, neuter, return, rescue kitties, you know, kitten foster care, a variety of different types of nonprofits. And so we're all starting businesses, we're all managing businesses. Since you've been doing this for a couple of years, are there challenges that you have encountered that you didn't expect?
All the work that is involved, to be honest. Right now in the team, we are like 2.5 people. One developer is the half. And then myself, I'm doing all the marketing. I'm doing the social media. I'm doing designing the website, the networking, attending interviews. So it's exhausting. So when you always think to open or to be an entrepreneur, you don't think that you're going to have so much work to do. Like every day you have an endless to-do list. But then on the other side, this is the first time that I feel so in line with a project, like with the values, with the purpose. I'm a traveler. I love traveling. And also I love animals. So it's the first time that I feel connected with it. So I think it's really important when you start something that you really feel part of it and that you have the feeling that you want to talk about it all the time to everyone know about it. Because if you don't have that, all this effort that you have along the way is not going to be worth it. And in some point, you are not going to persevere on the objective, right? Because my objective right now is to make this platform known worldwide and become a reference in the traveling and volunteering all area, right? Like every traveler, when they speak in a hostel, say, look, I'm traveling in this way. Go to Help the Dog Fly. You can fly as well and you can help an animal doing this. So I want to be in the community of travelers. So all these travelers that they know that they can be do something while they are traveling and enjoying themselves. So,
is there a story that you'd like to share from your travelers?
Right now, that doesn't come to my mind, to be honest. I just have my own story with TISPA that was really hard. And I, as a pet parent, I feel really identified with every story that I read in the website. There are many people that they've been waiting for months and even for years. And I feel them, you know. For me, it was really hard when I've been separated from my dog and was just 2 or 3 months. And I was feeling like I was failing her because I say, I'm going to bring you with me. And I haven't done it. And every day that was passing was like, oh, so I know how they feel. That's why also I'm working hard because I've been there and I want to help these people because I felt really frustrated that time. So I don't like that when someone feels like that and I know that is hard. So just working for the animals and also for the pet parents that they are suffering.
So at the end of the day, it sounds like you're focused on each individual case, but you're also focused on the fact that you want to help each individual case and ensure that those animals are getting to their parents.
Yeah, because also I know that one of the difficulties in this process is the transport. And if we make transport a cat or a dog easily to be when it's adopted, probably more people would adopt animals because they will feel that it's not hard to do it. It's not challenging. My biggest goal would be to impact in the worldwide percentage of adoptions. You know, like we make it really, really easy that everyone decide to adopt because it's easy to bring animals. I know that is a big, big dream, but I think we have to have bigger dreams, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's great. That's super. Getting the information out, everybody to understand it, be able to feel comfortable moving animals around is also really good, making it seem easy. And you're reducing a barrier, to access, to say, oh, I see this wonderful picture of a kitty in Greece. I will be able to believe I could adopt that kitty and have that kitty transported rather than say, oh, well, it's way over there. There's no way I'm going to get that cat, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really makes the world seem a little smaller for us, which is fantastic. Okay. If folks are interested in finding out more, Marta, about Help the Dog Fly, how would they do that?
Just enter in our website, helledogfly.com. And if you know Spanish, we are developing the Spanish version as well, helledogfly.com/es. and all the social media. We are in all the social medias with the same name, Hell the Dog Fly, so they can find us there. If you find us, just say hello. I'm really happy. I'm behind all the social media, so I'm really happy to receive messages.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, thank you very much to give me the space to speak about it. Excellent. I really appreciate it.
Super. Marta, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Good luck with all of your efforts, and I hope we have you on again in the future.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.